Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And the economic impact continues. Another 1.5 million people filed unemployment claims last week. Let's bring in Ali Velshi, MSNBC anchor and economics correspondent. Hi, Ali.
Hi, Tanya.
So this is the 12th week in a row that we've seen an increase in unemployment. What does the latest number show?
Well, so it shows that we've actually reached a number of 44.1 million people who have made initial claims in the past 12 weeks. Now, there are a couple of issues here. One is that a number of states have told workers to reapply if they were first found ineligible. So there may actually be some duplicate applications in here. The good news is that the weekly tally of people filing for unemployment has fallen for 10 weeks straight. But the bad news is the first number was 6.9 million at the end of March. So, you know, hopefully by July, we've got fewer than a million each week, but we're still in the wrong direction. That's the thing to remember. The weekly tallies in the recession of October 1982, that was 695,000. So we are still in staggeringly high numbers of people who are filing for unemployment.
There's something else. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported that the economy added jobs in May, first reporting that the unemployment rate fell to about 13%. Then it corrected itself and said it's closer to 16%. That's still lower than it was in April, but higher than it was during the Great Depression. I know this is not an apples to apples comparison, but is there any indication the unemployment rate will shrink as states reopen their economies?
Well, we're hoping that that's the case. Part of the problem is that a number of states that have reopened have now seen increases in hospitalizations due to COVID-19. So now folks are worried about, and we're seeing that in the stock market today, concerns about a second wave. But yeah, part of this shows what a weird situation we're in that the unemployment number, the rate, is determined by phone calls. It's a survey. And the people who were doing the survey mischaracterized what people were. If you're furloughed, are you unemployed or are you, you know, temporarily out of work? And that's why the miscalculation. So the estimates are we're still in double-digit unemployment probably for most of 2020. The Federal Reserve suggests that it could be lower than that by next year.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell said the Fed is not thinking of raising interest rates. What is he watching for that would signal a turnaround in the economy?
Well, so the Fed watches two things in particular. They watch inflation, which is when the economy gets too hot and the cost of things increase. There's no danger of that right now, obviously, because we're in a recession. The other thing it watches is unemployment. So as long as unemployment is increasing or not below a level that the Fed thinks is appropriate, which is really below 5%, there will not be any interest rate increases. And because interest rates are so low and because the Fed has offered to buy up loans, you know, mortgages from banks and business loans, that's actually why you're seeing a strong stock market performance generally in the last several weeks, because interest rates are really low. There's nowhere else for your money, and the Federal Reserve is guaranteeing loans. But there is, I think, zero chance of Federal Reserve rate increases probably for the next 2 years, let alone the next year.
You know, Ali, even if the economy recovers, there will still be a lot of lasting damage. What kind of impact will this fallout from the coronavirus have on things like retirement savings?
Yeah, well, this is actually going to hit retirement savings harder than the Great Recession did. 18% of Americans said retirement plans were severely affected by the Great Recession in 2007 to 2009. 43% of Americans say they're still recovering financially from the Great Recession. So here's the thing. Stock markets are almost back to where they were at the beginning of the year. But for a lot of people, depending on where they are in their life, they might have cashed out of those, or they're not invested in the kinds of things that have been bouncing back, or they became more conservative about it. So it sometimes takes quite a while to recover from the stock market effect of it. But remember, that's just one effect of it. Your job is, generally speaking, the greatest wealth creator in your life. Stock market is recovering, but jobs are going to be a while before they do.
I want to ask you something else before we let you go. You were shot with a rubber bullet when you were covering the protests in Minneapolis. What happened and how are you?
Thank you. I'm fine, although I'm more stunned than anything else on two levels. One is, in the work we do, sometimes you're going to get tear gassed and shot by rubber bullets. I never thought that would happen in America. So I now, when I cover these things, like a lot of other reporters, have a hardened helmet, a gas mask. The bigger issue is the degree to which, according to the Columbia Journalism Review, 300 reporters had interactions with police that were negative or, intimidation by police. So there's a bit of a Second Amendment issue, a First Amendment issue going on here about the freedom of the press to cover these protests. Probably about half a dozen of my colleagues were also in some fashion hit by either tear gas canisters or marking rounds or rubber bullets. So it's been a very, very interesting few weeks in terms of covering these protests.
Well, I'm glad you're okay for sure.
Thank you.
Ali Velshi with MSNBC. He's an anchor and economics correspondent as always. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks.